And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and shewing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. God is good. Let's try that again. God is good. And all the time. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Thank you very much for coming to the house of God to worship him in spirit and in truth. I publicly thank God for the high, high honor of speaking for him. And I thank him for the delight of being with you in the blessed and beautiful country of the Philippines, a place that I love very much. I have pledged to God to speak only the truth insofar as I understand it, and nothing but the truth. Our subject for today, face to face with prophecy. What did I say? Face to face with prophecy. We shall now pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, thank you for the gift of life. Thank you, dear God, for the presence of your Spirit, the protection of your angels, and for freedom of worship in this country. I personally thank you, dear God, for the joy of speaking for you. I humble myself before you, dear God, and I ask you in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and my Savior, use me, Father, for your glory. I think of Isaiah 42, verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory will I not give to another. And so I ask you, dear God, help me to focus all the glory on your name, but give us the blessing. Bless your sons and your daughters. Bless the internet audience, Father. And if there's someone with us who is not of this church, but did not identify himself or herself, Father, pour out a double blessing on that person. Put your words in my mouth, dear God. Come close to us as we worship you. I offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen. In Daniel chapter 8, verse 14, the Bible says, and he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. This is perhaps the most foundational text in Adventist theology. The verse says, "And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed." In The Great Controversy, page 409, paragraph 1, Ellen White writes, "The scripture which above all other had been both the foundation and the central pillar of the Advent faith was the declaration, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed." The servant of the Lord identifies Daniel 8:14 as the central, the key text upon which our prophetic movement is built. It is the text that is the seedbed. It is the sod and the soil from which present truth grows. "Unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed." The Seventh-day Adventist Church is a prophetic movement. God has given to us a message that no one else proclaims and no one else can proclaim because it was not given to anybody else. This is not a statement of superiority. This is a statement of Bible teaching. God, as verily as God gave the Jews a message no one else had, God has given to us a message for the world that no one else has. We call it present truth. We call it the three angels' messages, or we condense them and we call it the third angel's message. And the two central features are the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, along with the testimony of Jesus Christ, Revelation 14:12 and Revelation 12:17. We are, as a people, very familiar with what is called end time events. We are also familiar with the expression end time and the expression time of the end. Now, I have not got time to go into the biblical details that differentiate the two. But the end of time with which we're familiar and the time of the end with which we're familiar are two different but connected concepts. The end of time began October 22, 1844, meaning the end of prophetic time. After October 22, 1844, there are no more prophecies built on a specific time. Let me say that again. There are no more prophetic events built on a specific date. October 22, 1844 was the last. And so on that day, the end of prophetic time was reached. The time of the end began in 1798 with the fall of the papal power. It was a time when the Bible study became widespread, Bible societies were developed, missionaries began going around the world. 1798, the end of the 1260-year period, marked the beginning of the time of the end. October 22, 1844, marked the end of time. I give you a few seconds to deal with that. The end of time and the time of the end. When Adventists think about end time events, we think of the falling of the stars. We think of the dark day. We think of the close of probation. We think of the entrance of Christ into the most holy place to begin that phase of his priestly ministry. October 22, 1844, it has been going on for 175 years, and Jesus Christ has not come back, and it is not his fault. When we think of the end of time, we think of the time of Jacob's trouble, the little time of Jacob's trouble. We think of the Sunday law, and by the way, that is coming. We think of all these things. We think of the work of the little horn. We think of the work of the false prophet. We think of the beast. We think of spiritualism as one of the three agents of the devil in deceiving the world. All these things come to mind when we think of end time events. Our subject is face to face with prophecy. Now, there is a certain concern that I have with regard to the way we view end time events. Before I get into that, let me pray again. Dear God, continue to be with me, Father. Take total control of my mind and every apparatus and faculty required to speak. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When we study the book of Revelation, to my mind, I get the impression we are fascinated with the beast of Revelation 13, also mentioned in Daniel 7 and mentioned in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the man of sin, the son of perdition, almost to the extent that if you listen to us explaining prophecy of Revelation, you get the impression that the beast is the central figure of Revelation. The central figure of Revelation is the triumphant Christ. Can you say amen? The central figure of Revelation is Christ triumphant, Christ victorious, Christ conquering all his enemies, not the beast. Now, we need to understand the beast, yes. We need to understand the false prophet, yes. We need to understand the dragon, yes. But the focus of Revelation, as indeed the entire Bible, is Jesus Christ. Another concern I have as I continue with face to face with prophecy, we view end time events as disconnected from us. And so the Sunday law is an event that's coming. It has nothing to do with me. The clause of probation is an event that has no date, but we believe it has not yet occurred. It is something that's coming. It has nothing to do with me personally. So we have sometimes a distant, impersonal view of prophecy. Some of us, we try to find out what the Illuminati is or are doing. That again is distant. That's a group, a sometimes invisible group, operating behind closed doors. What are they doing? What is the papal power doing? An invitation has been sent out to leaders to gather in Rome. I believe it's May of 2000. And many people have their eyes focused on that event. It looks like an end time event, but it has nothing to do with me. It is a distant event. What's our subject? Face to face with prophecy. My purpose today is to introduce prophecy that we almost never talk about, but that is not distant, but personal. Let me say that again. My mission today is to introduce us, or remind us, not introduce, of prophecy that is not distant, but it is very, very personal. Let us go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we read from verse 1. Our subject, face to face with prophecy. I don't see a clock. It's 23 after 11. I will try to let you go by 12. What book did I say? 2 Timothy, what chapter? Reading from verse 1. And I ask God again to put his words in my mouth. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine. Now, this does not apply to the world. This applies to the church. Let's forget the Illuminati. Let's forget for a while, or lay aside, the beast. Let's take our eyes for a while off the close of probation or the passing of the Sunday law. Let's focus on what the Bible says. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. The itching ears are those who cannot endure sound doctrine, and so they hire teachers who will tell them what they want to hear. This applies to the church. And in the church are those who cannot endure sound doctrine. Verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. This is a prophecy of conditions in the church. This is face to face with prophecy, and the little horn and the Illuminati have nothing to do with this. There are members in the church who will not accept the divinity of Jesus Christ, cannot endure sound doctrine. There are members of the church who have little confidence in the prophetic gift, a feature of the remnant church as exercised in the ministry of God's servant Ellen White. There are members of the church who are beginning to believe that creation was not done in 6 days. There are some scholars in the church who believe the flood was not a global event. There are those who believe that the events of the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis are not totally historical. They cannot endure sound doctrine. The Bible predicted that in the church there will be those who will turn away their ears from hearing the truth, questioning the reliability of the Word of God, questioning the remnant status of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. They cannot endure sound doctrine. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Don't tell me. This is a prophecy regarding the church. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Our subject, face to face with prophecy. You have 2 Thessalonians, just before Timothy. Chapter 2, we'll read from verse 3. One of the problems Paul had with the church at Thessalonica, they thought that Christ was about to come in their day. And Paul says, for that let no man deceive you by any means. By any means, let no man deceive you, for that day shall not come except they come a falling away first. Where does the falling away take place? Not in the world. It takes place in the church. In the 80s and 90s, and even after that, there was a serious falling away in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Ministers, many of them fell away. They followed a man called Desmond Ford, and his teachings fell away. Members by the hundreds left. There are those who are so upset with the church, they leave to form a purer church, a falling away. God does not purify His church by taking away the church. He purifies His church by taking people out. You didn't hear what I said. Let me say it again. God does not purify the church by taking away the church. He purifies the church by taking some people out. So when you go out, you're moving in the wrong direction. That day shall not come except they come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. The prophecy is the man of sin functions in the church.
not outside. He sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, face to face with prophecy. Let us go 2 Timothy again, chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. It gets even more personal. I hope someone has already said, "Father, put your words in that man's mouth." I hope you've done that, because I need that spiritual support from you. Do you have 2 Timothy chapter 3? Reading from verse 1 of chapter 3, let me pray again. Father in heaven, please, dear God, the devil will try to twist my tongue. Let your spirit control me, every fiber of my being, God, that the words I speak will be your words. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This know also, that in the last days, perilous... I tell you what, go to 1 Timothy 4. Let's go there first. 1 Timothy 4, one book before 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy 4, then we'll come to 2 Timothy. Let's go in chronological order. Are you there? 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the what? Latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Question for you, give me another expression for the latter times. The end times. The end times, or the last days. And we know we're living in the last days. The Bible says, the Spirit speaketh expressly. Give me another word for expressly. Clearly, directly, plainly, the Spirit of God speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. This does not happen in the world, it happens in the church. What faith will the world depart from? This is the church. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Stop. What is the doctrine of the devil? Anything contrary to thus saith the Lord. We are introduced on this earth to doctrines of the devil in Genesis and the Garden of Eden. God said, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Meaning, the wages of sin is death. This was God's doctrine. The devil said in chapter 3, verse 4, thou shalt not surely die. Meaning, the soul lives forever, which is the popular teaching in modern Christianity. This is a doctrine of the devil. God said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. This is a doctrine of God. Constantine came along, and later on the church followed him and declared Sunday to be the Sabbath. This is a doctrine of the devil. However embarrassing that statement may be, Sunday as the Sabbath is a doctrine of the devil. Because that's not what God said. The Bible says, therefore shall a man leave his mother and his father, and shall cleave to his wife, a man, singular, his wife, singular, and they shall be one flesh. There are some customs, even in some churches, where one man can have many wives. That is a doctrine of the devil, because God's doctrine is one man, one wife. The Bible says, the Spirit speaketh expressly. In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. What is a seducing spirit? Look at the word seduce. Let's meet the first seducing spirit on the earth. Just listen, I'll just read a verse. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Here comes the seducing spirit. And gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Eve, for a brief period, was a seducing spirit. This is an academic environment. You are a serious student. You're trying to spend time studying. Give time to God. Be an upright child of God. And your classmate wants you to go to the bar. Go to the whorehouse. That is a seducing spirit. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having the conscience seared with a hot iron, no sense of repentance or shame. Face to face with prophecy. That's about conditions in the church. Now, let's go to the next book, 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll read from verse 3. Our subject, face to face with prophecy, 25 minutes to 12. Do you have that? May the God of heaven and earth put his words in my mouth, please. That's my prayer. This know also. Don't be ignorant. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now concentrate with me. What is the word perilous? What does perilous mean? Give me another word. Dangerous. Don't sleep. Dangerous. Now, when you hear dangerous times will come in the last days, you may think of the earthquake in Davao, a typhoon Haiyan, the tsunami of 2004 or whenever it was, the earthquake that hit Japan, destroyed the Fukushima or damaged it. You may think of the earthquake that hit Haiti in 2010, or Hurricane Katrina in the United States, or whatever. These are, you think of the war in Syria, or Abu Sayyaf in the southern part of the Philippines. All these things come to mind. Perilous, dangerous time shall come, the Bible says. But let's read the word carefully as we continue with face to face with prophecy. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now, listen to what the dangers are. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. That is dangerous. Is this mic working? Can you hear me? Self-love is dangerous. Men shall be lovers of the world. One of the reasons the gospel does not go forward as it should, we love ourselves, and so the money is spent on us. Perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous. Everything they see, they want. This is the church. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. I'm on a campus, so I must pause and comment on that. The Bible says disobedience to parents is dangerous behavior. You say, well, preacher, you're extreme. How is it dangerous? The Bible says, this know also, that in the last days, perilous or dangerous times shall come. This is one of the contributors to the dangerous times. Disobedient to parents. And by the way, spiritually, your parents include the older men and women of the church. Unthankful. Unholy. Without natural affection, verse 3. No love one for the other. Without natural affection. Truth breakers. You make a pledge to the church, you don't keep it. False accusers. Incontinent. Fierce. There are members of the church who will fight you at the drop of a hat. They will fight the pastor. They'll get up in your face. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. When you make a decision to walk uprightly with God, your greatest opposition will come from the church. Not the world. The church. Eloi says, we have more to fear from within than without. Jesus said the same thing. A man's foes or enemies shall be they of his own household. Eve seduced Adam into sin. Cain killed Abel. Rebekah deceived Isaac. Sarah told Abraham to sleep with a woman, not his wife. Judas betrayed Christ. Always the person close, the church, despises of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Let me pause on that for those of you who love Manchester United and Arsenal and the Philippine national basketball team. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You go, and I'll try not to be harsh. You go to any church. A banquet is arranged. Everybody comes. Arrange a Bible study. Nobody comes. But everybody loves Jesus. You pick any church. Arrange a basketball game. Everybody comes. Arrange a study of denominational history. Nobody comes. Everybody loves Jesus. There are Adventists who can't wait for the sun to set on Sabbath evening in order that they might go to the television and check the secular news and the reports of this team playing that game. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Where are they? In the church. What's our subject? Face to face. Now, God is talking to you and to me. Am I a lover of God more than a lover of pleasure? Or is it the reverse? A lover of pleasure more than a lover of God is merely a church-going demon in human form. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. You look like a Christian, but you're anything but. A wolf that looks like a sheep, but denying the power thereof. What is the power of the Christian life? The Spirit of God. What did Jesus tell the disciples? And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. What is the power in the Christian's life? The Spirit of God. What did Jesus say? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Luke 4:18. What does the Bible say in Acts 10:38? How that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. The Bible says there are those who will deny the power. And the power is the Spirit of God. The power is the Word of God, which is a Spirit-filled Word. This is not the papacy. This is not the Illuminati. This is not whatever. This is the church. Now it's personal. I've got to take my eyes out of the papacy and put them on me. Do I have a form of godliness but deny the power? They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. Titus 1, the last verse of that chapter. My brothers and sisters, for you and for me, prophecy must be personal. God is not waiting for the papacy to do its work before He comes. Are you following me? The Lord is not waiting on the Illuminati to do its work before He comes. The Bible says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Who is required or called to preach this gospel? We are. Christ's Object Lessons, page 69, paragraph 1. Christ is waiting with longing desire for the manifestation of Himself in His church. Character development. When the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproduced in His people, then He will come to claim them as His own. This has nothing to do with the little horn. You
and me? Am I allowing the character of Christ to be reproduced in me? If not, I am delaying the coming of Jesus Christ. Face to face. This is prophecy. This know also that in the last days, in the end time, perilous time shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Let me tell you very bluntly, there are some members of the church with whom you should restrict your association. You didn't hear me, I'll tell you again. There are some members of the church with whom you should limit your interaction because it is spiritually dangerous. The influence will take you this way, not this way. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. The Bible doesn't call us to view ourselves as better. It calls us to guard ourselves. My friends, my brothers, my sisters on the campus of AUP, don't leave this place saying that Randy Skid said we should not study about a little horn. I never said that. Don't leave this place saying that I said, don't study the dragon, or the false prophet, or the Illuminati, or whomever. I never said that. I am saying we tend to view these things as distant events, distant organizations. Where is the with the Illuminati? We don't know. They're somewhere, somewhere hidden. Where's the papacy? Take a plane. Go all the way to the Vatican. It has nothing to do with me. What is Randy Skid saying? There is prophecy that deals with you. And me. That's where our focus should be. Because salvation is an individual matter. God has called His church in this day, as He called ancient Israel, to stand as a light in the world. In the book Christ's Object Lessons, page 215, paragraph 2, Ellen White writes, the Israelites had misrepresented God among the nations. They were not merely useless, but a decided hindrance. To a great degree, their religion was misleading and wrought ruin instead of salvation. The Jews had come to the place where instead of leading to Christ, they misled people by their lies that were not consistent with the Word. You and I today, modern Israel based on prophecy, are we pointing people to Christ? Are we, by the lives we live, giving others a glimpse of the last day church of God? Let me close the book to let you know I'm close to the end. It's 14 minutes to 12, and I love to keep time. I believe, well, let me ask you, how many believe Christ is coming back? Can I see your hand? You believe Christ is coming back? Hands down. How many want a place in His kingdom? Can I see your hand? Seriously. I don't see many hands. Hands down. You didn't hear me. How many of you would like to be saved in God's kingdom? May I see your hand? Okay. Hands down. When the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproduced in His people, then He will come to claim them as His own. We are a prophetic people. This morning, I have tried to stress the personal side of prophecy that applies to you as an individual. Young people, there's a prophecy that targets you. Are you obeying your parents? Young and old, there's a prophecy that targets us. Are we lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God? Church, there's a prophecy that targets us. Do we love ourselves more than we love God? Are we covetous? Are we proud because we have a PhD? My burden was to bring prophecy right in front of our faces. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you, dear God, for the personal side of prophecy. Father, you have taught us the significance of the little horn, the false prophet, the dragon. We have some understanding of the close of probation, the high priestly ministry of Jesus Christ, the time of the end of time, the little time of trouble, Jacob's time of trouble. We have some familiarity with all of this, dear God. But we have tended to forget that there is an aspect of prophecy, Father, that deals with us very, very personally. And while the heads of your people are bowed and the eyes are closed, any man, any woman, boy or girl listening to me, if it is your desire to so live that when Jesus comes you will have a place in His kingdom, I want you to stand. If it is your desire to so live that when Jesus comes you will have a place in His kingdom, I would like you to stand, and stand quickly. Don't look around to see who's standing. Make your personal decision. If it is your desire to have a place in God's kingdom when He comes, stand. I have a second appeal to make. Listen again to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. As I read the list of conditions in the human heart, if any of them applies to you, come. Let me say it again. You know, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. As I read this list, if one of them applies to you, I want you to come. And we will pray. 2 Timothy 3, reading from verse 1. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous. Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. Without natural affection. False accusers. Truth breakers. Incontinent, no self-control. Fierce, always quick to fight. Despisers of those that are good. You resent those trying to live an upright life. Despisers of those that are good. Come. Traitors, heady, impetuous, never thinking, heady, high-minded, thinking too much of yourself, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, come, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, come. Come. It's a long list. We don't need to know which one applies to you. You just came. I'll give the list one more time. Come. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous. Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Do we not understand that Christ is delayed in the temple not because of the man of sin? Because of us. As long as we send sins up to the holy place, Jesus has to stay there and take care of them. But before he cleanses that sanctuary, he must cleanse this one, but he needs our cooperation. When this is cleansed, no more sins go up. And Christ can come. Anyone else? Did any of those things fit you? Or 1 Timothy? Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. Have you drifted from God? You've departed from the faith. You did not depart from the church building, but you departed from the faith. Come. You departed from the faith, but you stayed in the building. Come. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, come. 11:56. I'm going to pray. Who else is coming? Come. Come, sister, come. This is very, very serious. God is not waiting for the Hindus and the Muslims and whoever else, the atheists and to do it. He's waiting for us to do what we're supposed to do. To be right with him that he can come. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Before I pray, there are some who've made decisions to be baptized. I want you to come. You made a decision to be baptized. I want you to come and be included in this prayer. Come now. You made a decision to be baptized. I saw some of you last night and the night before. Come now. Come. Come quickly. Come right up front. I want to include you in this prayer. That God will sustain you. If there's someone listening to me now, you will make a decision for baptism now. You come. You've been thinking about it. Here's a good time to make the decision. That's all. Just make the decision. Come. You're on a Christian campus, an Adventist campus. You hear the sermons. You hear the teachings. What more do you need? Come. If you'll make that decision right now, just come. And I'll pray. And if you're coming to make the decision for baptism for the first time, make sure you talk to us so that we can get your name. We don't want you to go back. Let us know who you are. We need your name so we can make the proper arrangements. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Dear God in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for its rebuke. Thank you, dear God, it has sharp edges. They cut not to hurt, but they cut to save. Like removing cancer. Father, if I have spoken badly, forgive me. If I was too harsh with your people, forgive me, God, and bless them. Father, if in any way I took glory to myself, I apologize. Be merciful, dear Father. Now, dear God, I present to you those who answer the call. Some have come to say they're lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and the whole list all the way down to verse 5 of 2 Timothy 3, which your Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write. This makes prophecy, dear God, personal and face to face. It is not because of the papacy you've not yet come. It is not because of the Illuminati. It is because of us. And so, dear God, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, a name you never resist, a name that is a strong tower into which the righteous run and are safe, in his name who said, I am the resurrection and the life, in the name of the one who said, let there be light, in the name of the one who said, it is finished, in the name of the one who said, I and my Father are one, in his name, dear God, bless those who answer the call. Grant them a measure of your Spirit right where they stand. Remove from them, Lord, a love for the world and give them a love for the things of heaven. Let them live by the counsel you gave Paul. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Please, God, fulfill the very first promise of the Bible. I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Put that hatred in us for sin and give us an overflowing love for righteousness. Bless those who've made choices to be baptized. Keep them steadfast, dear God, that their faithfulness to you may win their family and win their friends. We thank you for personal face-to-face prophecy. Now, dear God, as we leave this place, let us leave determined to so live that the quality of our life by the power of the Spirit will hasten the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless every man. Bless every woman. A double blessing on the children, dear God. Bless this institution. Bless the leaders, Father. Let AUP be the reason why many will be ready to meet Christ when He comes. Father, hear this humble prayer, dear God. Please, as an act of mercy, we offer it in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, Amen and Amen.
For our closing hymn, we're singing, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
God our Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other. Lift us to the joy divine. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Let God's people say, Amen and Amen. God bless you. From my heart I say, God bless you.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.